She inspires, educates, and informs. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. I am Gina Murphy, darling, and you are indeed listening to Mrs. Green's World, an inspirational and informative place where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And Lord knows we need inspiration these days. We're going to talk about that. It's going to be an upbeat show. So thanks for joining us. And thanks always to the sponsor of this show, the Chapman Automotive Group. They are committed to improving the environment through support of their very active and impactful Community Green team, to their promotion of fuel-efficient vehicles, and to their award-winning energy-efficient buildings. They're doing it all to make a difference. We thank them for their support and for all they do to make our community and our planet safer and healthier for all of us. For more information about them, there is lots available at ChapmanTucson.com. So I'd like everybody, I'm inviting all of you listeners to take a deep breath and get ready to hear about something good, about some good news. For many of us, these are challenging times. If you care about getting people out of poverty, if you care about social justice issues and our national parks and the rights of indigenous people, it's challenging times. And that is not a Democrat or a Republican statement. I know people who have those labels, who care deeply about a national park or about habitat devastation. So what an amazing concept to talk about an organization, Food Recovery, Fight Waste, and Feed People. Joining me for this next hour is someone who has a great first name, who is an amazing agent for change, and who knows lots about food waste. So please join me in welcoming Regina Northouse. She is the executive director of the Food Recovery Network, which is the largest student movement against hunger in changing the norm from food waste to food recovery in the United States, And how this story unfolds is beyond impressive. Just a little bit of a background. In 2011, a group of students, one of whom was Ben Simon, like Regina, is he not a hero of all of ours?
He's great. He really is.
And he's gone on to start another, build another empire, Imperfect Produce, and three other people that were mentioned that I want to give notice, you know, mention to, Mia, Cam, and Evan. At the University of Maryland at College Park, they noticed good dining hall food ending up at the trash at the end of the night. They didn't like it, but they didn't just not like it. They decided to do something about it, and did they ever. By the end of that school year, the Food Recovery Network at UMD had recovered 30,000 meals to D.C. area hunger-fighting nonprofits. They recovered them and then repurposed them, is what I would say. So exciting, inspirational, and I can't wait to hear from you, Regina. It's so great to connect again and talk about good news in this challenging time.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. And I wanted to thank you, Gina, for all the work that you've done for Food Recovery Network as an advisory board member. So it really does mean a lot. So you're helping to create this movement as well.
Yeah, but it's not enough. And I'm stepping up, man. It was like when we talked a couple of months ago, my name is as an advisory board member. I came to a conference, but I would really like to be a true partner in doing more in helping this organization to get, you know, more visibility and acknowledgement for your great work. So tell us a little bit about how it works, how the model works, how many chapters there are. Give us a little background on the Food Recovery Network, where it was and where it is.
Sure, absolutely. I would love to. So we are currently in 234 schools, universities, and colleges across the country. And we say that Food Recovery Network is a national organization with a local solution to two pretty complex problems that you just mentioned. You know, we have about 48 million people who are hungry in this country at this very moment in time of you and I talking. And we also know that throwing away food has pretty terrible effects on our environment. It is the largest item in our landfills across the country. I think a lot of people are surprised to hear that. I know that I was when I first learned that. I would think, you know, plastic or, you know, metal or something, but it's
not
actually food.
You wouldn't think of food. I wouldn't either.
You wouldn't think of food. But when we put it in a landfill, it creates methane gas, and which is a contributor to our Earth warming up. So when we don't throw away food, there's so many wonderful benefits. And truly how it works, you know, every chapter, 234 that we have, things are a little bit different. So we are in small schools, private schools, rural, urban, anything you can think of in between. And so we work hand in hand with our student leaders who are interested in starting a Food Recovery Network chapter to get up and running. And what that means is at our national office, which is still in College Park, we're still very close to the University of Maryland and love them to death. We actually just did a virtual food drive with them to help raise fresh produce from the victims of Hurricanes Irma, Maria, and oh my goodness, I'm blanking on the third one.
There's so many. It's like what
happening.
Harvey. Yeah. Harvey?
Harvey, thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
So we work with the students to establish their chapters. And what that means is we have a really good sense of what it takes to have a chapter and keep it thriving year over year. But basically, the students will talk with their dining providers at their college or university and get dining sign-offs. We really want this to be a relationship between student leaders and their dining providers, as well as with their surrounding community. So they'll talk with their dining providers, let them know what we're trying to do and how we do it, and take an audit of their dining hall. And so a lot of our chapters across the country, they will recover from one dining hall. Several of them recover from more than one dining hall. We have chapters that recover every single day, three meals a day. We have some that recover a couple times a week. It really, it doesn't matter. You know, one meal is enough to, you know, provide some support to an individual who's hungry. So basically our students will take the surplus food that is still left in the kitchen that hasn't been brought out yet. So this is trays and trays and trays of chicken, of pasta salads, of green salads, anything that you can think of. I mean, dining for college and universities, the food is really, really good and very nutritious. So the students will package that up, take the temperature. We train all of our students in how to handle food safely. And then for the most part, what they will do is they will put that food in the back of their cars. Some of our students will put the food into the campus vans or buses. And they'll take it to what we call a hunger fighting partner agency. Now, this is a nonprofit in the surrounding community where that school is located. And again, the students are the ones who we support them in identifying an organization and building relationship with that organization. So they're mostly homeless shelters, food kitchens, food pantries are most commonly the recipients of the food that our students are bringing over.
And so you can see for someone like me that cares deeply about a lot of issues, including hunger, my background's in social services. How could mm-hmm. anyone in this country have to go to bed hungry? It defies description. So I want to talk a little bit about the real model, which I learned from being on the board, advisory board, is students will form the chapter, you provide what I call a scalable model. You have the tools that they need. There are obstacles to overcome. There's people they have to connect with. So they connect with the food service providers, as you said. And then how does that go? Because is the ultimate goal to get the food service providers to have less food waste also? You know what I mean? So how does that whole circle of the ideal would be to reduce the amount of food waste, but then if you do that, you're not feeding the hungry. So you see where I'm going with this? How do you help navigate that? It's when people say to me they want simple answers to things, I always say, you know what? It's complicated. These things are complicated and change occurs mm-hmm. over time. So how do you help navigate those things, if my question makes sense?
It does, and you totally nailed it right on the head. Our whole concept is to reduce food waste at the source. Like you said, we don't want to overproduce food in order to feed people. We're fortunate enough in this country where there is truly enough food in this country that we grow, that we produce, that we transport, that we could ensure that no man, woman, or child
ever
goes hungry.
Ever.
Ever. It doesn't have to happen. And so we work with dining providers at the national level, and I'm really proud to say, I know you gave such a wonderful shout out to your sponsor. For us, a big part of FRN's founding story is Sodexo and their foundation. They provided us with our seed funding to get up and running, to pay for staff, get some office space, become a national nonprofit.
Wow.
501c3. Yeah, and they've been with us ever since. They are in our corner. When you start something, there are things that change and things aren't always clearly defined. And so Sodexo has really provided a lot of support, even thought partnerships with us over the years. So for a partner like Sodexo that has so many accounts all across the country in higher education, they work really closely with us at the national office so that there's a dining provider who doesn't get it, who maybe doesn't understand what food recovery is or what students are trying to do, they'll actually step in on Food Recovery Network's behalf and say, hey, actually, we really support this at the corporate level. This is what we're trying to do. You might want to consider also doing this. And I have to say, a lot of times if we're going to get a school that things are slowed down at the beginning stages because of dining, a lot of times it's not a Sodexo school because they really do talk about it a lot at the national level. But like you said, I mean, there's so many different hurdles that can occur.
Including having to have the food delivered every day. I mean, and make sure that it's safe and that no one gets sick. I mean, it's a huge responsibility for students to take on. So it's, when I started learning about it, it's like, you've got to be kidding me. This is a pretty much an all volunteer network once they're in the chapter, at the chapter level. And what an ongoing responsibility, because the food comes out every day and somebody has to take care of it.
It's so inspiring. It's so inspiring. Our students are so, so dedicated. And, back to your question about the, food waste prevention, we give reports, very detailed reports, to all of our dining managers when they partner with us. So there's a benefit that they receive. And that is, wow, I have been over-ordering and over-producing, whatever, again, chicken or the macaroni and cheese.
Right.
Consistently, I see this now. And so that triggers behavior change in the dining provider where they will order less food to begin with because now they know they don't need to do that. And so they save money on that regard because they're not over-producing food, they're not over-ordering food, and then they're not just throwing away all this great food that they've paid for and took time to prepare. And so there's a really big morale boost for the staff, for the dining staff, because the last thing anybody wants to do is, work a full work day and then have, half of that get tossed in the garbage.
Right. It's in the garbage.
It's demoralizing. Mm-hmm.
When there's right outside the university campus people that are, begging for food on the street corners, literally. I mean, in our town, you cannot go out here ever without seeing someone with a homeless sign. And, a lot of us get to know who that guy is or who that woman is. And sometimes we do give them food. So let's talk a little bit. When I was preparing this, it's like there's not a sequence to it. It's like a wonderful, revolving circle of a critical piece of this is partnerships. So the kids, the students, they're the ones that work with the food dining halls and make sure that the model works of from table to partner organizations. Tell us about some of those partners. Who are they? Oh. And some examples of the models. And I love that you said that. I could hear it's like, where would you be with it? I could feel it. Like, where would you be without them? So give us some examples of how that model works. And I know, Gary Oppenheimer is another one, Ample Harvest. It's a whole nother thing. But it's another great example of people I met because of the partnership on this board. So tell us about the models of where they take the food and then what happens with those partners. What do they do?
Absolutely. And we, at this moment in time, have well over 300 partner agencies across the country.
It's amazing.
Of course, Oliver, it's really wonderful. Not quite the majority of our 234 chapters donate the food to more than one location. And it's wonderful. So again, for us, this is about student-driven leadership. You know, our students are really at the helm of this model, of this movement. And so again, at National, we're here to support them, help them navigate through the conversations, help them to identify. But they really are the ones who are building and fostering the relationships with dining providers and with their community. Students want to get off of their college campuses. They want to be involved in their community. And this is a really amazing way for them to do that. So some of the partner agencies, I'll give for example, at the University of Maryland, our very first partner agency is the Christian Life Center. And so it's Pastor Ben and our chapter there. They recover, I believe they recover 7 days a week, and they work with Pastor Ben, who has a center where people can come and they can receive food. And he's a great center where people can actually take home bags of food. And so our prepared food that we send over helps to supplement that. Our Goucher College chapter, it's an amazing nonprofit called Project PLACE. And PLACE is P-L-A-S-E. It's an acronym. I don't remember what it is now, but it's an awesome organization. Actually started about 15 years ago by a college student, which is really neat. But they work with individuals in the Baltimore community who are living with HIV/AIDS, might have been formerly homeless.
Wow.
They provide meals three times a day, 365 days out of the year. It's just wonderful.
We have to talk more about the goodness that's going on this planet and in this country. When you say that, I want everybody to say, okay, take a deep breath. Do you hear what Regina just said? That 3 meals a day, 365 days a year, and a shout out to faith-based organizations. In my world, the work they're doing with climate change, climate justice, climate refugees, if you have a, I would love to meet, you called him Pastor Ben, is that what you called him?
Mm-hmm.
Pastor
Ben. You love him.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, it's already a love fest and I haven't even met the guy, but he's caring. And who do you want to see go to bed hungry? But here it is. And this is students. I want to repeat that, everybody. This is students that are helping to feed people with HIV, well, getting food to them and hunger, and I'm sure moms, single moms, and I mean, the beat goes on. Mm-hmm. So
Veterans.
You
name it. Children.
Yeah. So yeah, there's just no downside. So those are really good examples of models. And then do you partner sometimes with food banks, or is it more outside of that network? Are there some that you work with? I mean, there's, you know, they're known all over the world. Our food bank is doing a lot in terms of not just giving out food, but helping people. Like, we're doing a lot with community gardens and trying to end, here's your food, and getting more fresh produce and all those kinds of things to change the model of food banks, even of not just being a handout, but a hand up. And I love that. I'll never get tired of that expression.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's a great expression. Yeah, we definitely see a lot of really great partnerships within the community, and we work with food banks absolutely, because a lot of times where we're getting the food from, it can be a high volume, and so sometimes a smaller nonprofit that might be working to fight homelessness or working with little kids for after-school programming, they might not have the facilities to take on a large quantity of food. And that's where the relationship building comes in, because sometimes our students say, okay, this homeless shelter, they can only accept food on Wednesdays, and they can only accept probably about, 100 pounds of food at a time or whatever it might be. So that triggers our students to look for other places. So, we have a set criteria for where our students can bring the food. The places that we bring the food, they have to be another nonprofit. They have to be able to handle their food safely once they receive it from us. But there's so many awesome, awesome organizations out there that are really doing a lot. And we actually on our website say, hey, if you are an organization that feeds people and you are interested in receiving our food, let us know so people can proactively reach out to us.
I don't mean to interrupt. There are probably as many models as there are partnerships, and that's what I love about the students. Mm-hmm. It's not like cookie cutter. You and the students have to right. think, what can this be? How can this be? Our first break, everybody. So hold on. We'll be back more with Regina Northouse from the National Food Recovery Network. We're going to hear about some rock stars out there across the country. Stay here with me. You won't want to miss a word.
Join us for a new on-demand podcast every week at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the iHeartRadio or SoundCloud mobile apps. We are a proud member of the iHeartRadio, Glimmerglass, and Speak Up networks. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Stay in touch with information about healthy living, sustainability, contests, and events by signing up for our e-newsletter on our website. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. But right now, back to Mrs. Green.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and you are listening to Mrs. Green's World, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. And for this hour, we're inviting you to think about something great for this country, for the citizens of this country, for the students in our universities. This show is about good news, and I am so inundated with news that's not so good these days that I am like doing the happy dance for having the chance to talk to our guest, Regina Northouse. She's the executive director of the Food Recovery Network, which is the largest student movement against hunger in changing the norm from food waste to food recovery in the United States. And a little bit more about Regina. She's responsible for setting the vision, strategy, and the fundraising efforts, which I'm sure is never ending, for the Food Recovery Network. For over a decade, she has worked in the nonprofit sector. And I can share with you personally that she is one of those people who is committed to what I call social justice issues, because she believes it is in this sector that she can make the biggest difference and that people are the engines of positive change. Regina, thanks so much for being with us again and telling us all you do with these amazing students throughout the country to feed the hungry. I just was reflecting on that very quick break, how during this process, the students are really learning a lot. So there's transferable skills when they get out into the world of how to build partnerships, and I'm sure they have obstacles to overcome and organize and work with volunteers. That in and of itself is an art form. So kudos to them. I'm sure you observe lots of growth among the students, because it's not just about delivering food. There's lots of moving parts to this.
It's absolutely true. There's so many moving parts, and it's not always easy. Absolutely.
No.
You know, our students have to navigate a lot, and they are resilient. They have such tenacity, and they, you know, a lot of times they're doing it with, you know, smile on their faces and just grace in their hearts. So it's really super inspiring. And I have to say, you know, we survey our students every semester, and I know a lot of our students have said, you know, I've changed my major. I've changed what I want to do after I graduate because of my interactions with Food Recovery Network and my volunteering with FRN. So I know that we are, and our thousands and thousands of students across the country, at any one semester, we work with between 4,000 to 5,000 students. They are going to graduate, and they're going to enter into every single sector. You know, we have every kind of major under the sun, people who are working with us, and they have that lens of, we don't throw away perfectly good food. We can feed people. I can solve problems. As you mentioned, you know, all the transferable skills that they have. We want those kinds of folks to be in, you know, businesses across the country. And many of them are starting their own businesses. I actually, one of my, a great student, I don't want to say favorites because they're all amazing. They're truly inspiring people. But he is a sophomore over at Ohio State University, and he just got a grant to start his own curbside compost company, and he's just in the very beginning stages of that. I'm so proud of him.
Wow.
We have another.
That's a big
so cool.
Wow.
It's
yes.
So cool. Mm-hmm.
So there's a question I have that I wanted to ask in the first segment, but I forgot. So what about your, what would it be? Like your exposure, I would guess, in terms of aren't there laws about serving food, like, you know, recovering food that has been sitting out and on and on? How do you dodge that bullet so that the students or the university is not liable? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question, and one that we get often, and I'm so glad that we do, because, you know, we are striving for behavior change. You know, there is food waste at every single step along the way. You know, food is left on the farm field. When we transport it, when we cook it, when it gets to our homes,
right,
there's food loss, you know, and so behavior change is truly what we're trying to do to prevent food from going to waste at the very beginning. So there, in 1996, Congress enacted the Bill Emerson Good Samaritan Act, and that says if you donate in food in good faith, you cannot be held liable. And that's where I said earlier, you know, there are some limitations. You do, at this moment in time, you have to donate it to another nonprofit. You can't just, you know, we can't give our food to somebody on the street as much as we would want to. But so we are limited in that regard. And since that law has passed, no one has been sued. No one has tested it, thank goodness. And like I said, you know, the other part is we really train our students on how to handle the food safely. So they take the temperature at the very beginning of the recoveries. They take it again when they bring it to their partner agency, or they'll freeze the food, and they have to get the food down to a certain temperature within a four-hour window. So we really work to make sure that all happens. And I have to say, that process of handling food safely was, again, Thought Partnership, thanks to Sodexo, and also Bon Appetit Management Company. They helped to provide us with the guidelines on how to handle food safely.
It's a big deal. I mean, and again, you've got it covered. You've got it covered, and it's so inspirational. So let's talk about some rock stars. I mean, you hear and collect and celebrate stories, I am sure, that are never ending. So talk about some, and you know, it's like, it's not to exclude anyone, but maybe a student listening will get an idea and be inspired to do something that they hear about on this, you know, in this podcast. So talk about some of the rock stars that you've observed that just make you happy and feel good when you put your head down on the pillow at night.
Yeah, there are so many amazing stories. I'm very fortunate. I feel very inspired when I go to work. And it's definitely, I want to match the passion that I see from our students all across the country. So this is a very difficult question.
Because I know, it's like, I don't want you to pick, but just give us some. I thought of it more in the sense of, as an example, and it could, you never know who's listening that might say, oh, I would love to do that at my school, or I'm going to tell my son or daughter about this kid who's doing such and such, or a program that's doing something. So just, it's more for that than to just exclude anyone.
Sure. No, absolutely. So we actually, for the first time ever, so FRN is about 6 years old, and for the first time ever, we established our Student and Alumni Advisory Board, and that was started as a way to help keep our arms around these incredible students who are going off, you know, all over the place in the country and all over the world. And those students and alums alone are just phenomenal people and have really dedicated so much of their time and themselves to this. I will also say in our national office, we have two students who have gone on to, they founded their FRN chapters. They participated in a program called This Recovered Life and, you know, wanted to take there, which is a really great program where we coach students to talk about their story, kind of like a This American Life.
I love it. So it's called This Recovered Life?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
It's wonderful.
I love it.
Yeah,
and tell us about it.
Yeah, we had our annual conference this year, and it's something that we did last year as well, where we work with students to stand up in front of the audience and tell everyone their story. Why did they become involved? And so when I think about those students, I definitely think about some of the rock stars that we have. And in particular, two of our, three students actually were victims of the hurricanes that just happened. So our University of Houston student, Yash, he was talking about how he just, you know, again, you said it earlier, he just saw this food going to waste and he thought, wow, that's really dumb. let's not do that.
That's and really awful.
I know, like that doesn't have to happen, you know, and for a lot of our students across the country, the reason why they find us is because they're Googling this and saying like, how can I stop this from happening? It's not smart. and that's how they find us. So that happened with Yash. And, you know, he was telling his story and how he and his family, they were victims of the hurricane. They had to flee their home and ended up in the neighbor's house waiting for the water to recede. And not too soon after the hurricane subsided, our University of Houston students got back out there and started recovering again.
Unreal. I mean, it is. It really is. Because that's there's even more of a need for it then. Okay, so what else? That's a great rock star story.
Yeah.
Someone who's it impacted their life and they knew what it might be like to not have any food.
Mm. Another really great story that I am just so proud of is our University of Minnesota chapter. I had the opportunity to meet a former FRN chapter leader. Her name is Becca, and she works still at the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis. And so she had an opportunity to meet the vice president of that chapter. She actually works at the university basically doing a food pantry. So because of her experience at FRN, she started a food pantry to address student hunger at the university and basically created her own job. So she now does that 9 to 5.
Wow.
Really incredible. Such an inspiring person.
And starving students. I mean, that's an expression you hear, but not everybody, you can't assume that somebody in college has all the money that they need and all the food that they need. So that's unbelievable. What about, I think in the notes you gave me or Kelly told me the story or something, isn't there a program in Colorado that's using bikes to recover food? Mm-hmm. I didn't understand that. Like, what does that even mean? How does that
one
work?
Yeah, they're so great. I know. I love it. You know, Colorado where everyone is so healthy and trying to be, you know, less impactful on the environment. So this is one of our community colleges, which is really great. We're working with community colleges. Is a whole other set of resources that you know, we think about a lot of the same things. But if people are at a school for only 2 years, the rotation level can be a little bit higher. But they recover their food and they put it into cooler bags and then they bicycle it over to their partner agency. A lot of the times where it's
like
amazing.
I love
it's so
it.
Fun.
And I want to say it's Colorado.
So
of
fun.
Course they do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of the places, the partner agencies where our students bring their food, it's not too far from their actual campuses.
Right.
So they're
right.
able to, they can, it's immediately impactful. You know, you recover the food that day, and a lot of times across the country it is being served that very night. And so you're really making a difference for somebody just like that.
And people just count on it. It's just like you and I have said many, many, many times, how could anybody go to bed hungry? What about, I had another note about a male choir in Texas, and I wanted to ask you about that. I don't forget when it comes up, so tell us about that. I'm like,
another great story.
What is this one?
I know. Yeah, that's another great story. So this chapter, you know, you said earlier, a lot of our chapters, our schools, our religious schools, and people join Food Recovery Network because of their faith. And we have a lot of chapters that aren't faith-based, but it's, again, a very incredibly diverse, you know, set of students across
right,
the country.
Right, right.
So this chapter, it's the all-male choir, and they said to themselves, you know, we're practicing together, we're singing together, we should volunteer together and do something meaningful. And so that's the reason why they started their chapter, because they wanted to, in real time, I guess I would say, express their faith by helping the community. So that's a really fun story. We have another chapter in Tampa, and the two students who are at the helm there, they're amazing. One of them, her name is Jen, she's actually on our advisory board, and they too were victims of, the hurricanes. And the organization where they would bring the food, they actually not only brought the food over there, but that organization works with little kids. And so they started to volunteer, even after they dropped off the food, helping, mentoring and tutoring the little kids there. And unfortunately, it's lovely. It is
what?
So lovely. They're just
That's lovely.
Such,
that's
such
a good word
people.
For it. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But unfortunately, that building, because of the hurricanes, it burned down. And so our two students are helping with the efforts to get, new space for that programming. So again, there's this tragedy that happens that affects us personally, and they just keep going.
And they're resilient.
This is resilience.
So resilient. Yeah, in action. Mm-hmm. You know what? I never asked you this, Regina. Is there a magic number? Even like I would figure at a big university, you'd have to have X amount of students involved. At a smaller university, mm-hmm. Not so many. But you can't just have two students do it.
Right.
I mean, not right. if they're going to be, unless they do it, a couple of days a week. So is there, in your model, what do you say you really need X amount to be able to execute this? Is there a minimum and a maximum, or probably not a maximum, but what's critical mass look like for having a successful chapter?
That's a great question. And it does vary a little bit, but we always say with the students that are on the leadership team, we call it, the folks that are doing the day-to-day work to maintain the chapter, which is, trying to recruit volunteers, working with dining, building that relationship with the partner agency, doing marketing. We say between 2 to 7 students in that regard can make a healthy. Mm-hmm. And then they may or may not be the ones actually doing the recovery. So those
right.
students will, recruit their fellow students to work with them to do the recoveries. And a recovery can vary between, 20 minutes to an hour. From beginning to end. So it's not on the student side of things. It doesn't take that long. What's so great about students is that, a lot of times recoveries are happening, if lunch is at, it goes from, 12 to 2, students are the ones who are available to, do this kind of work in the middle of the day or in evening time and bring it to the partner agency. So we at the national office, we try to provide as many resources as we can. We're always looking to hear about trends. We're always looking to hear about, different information that our students need to be successful. And recruiting and managing volunteers is one of those areas that our students are always interested in, because at any one time, any one semester, students are graduating, they're studying abroad. So it's always a moving mass of people that any one of our chapters are trying to manage. So recruiting volunteers is a big area of work for our chapters.
Yeah, recruiting volunteers and then training them. And sometimes mm-hmm. for me, working with volunteers is among the most frustrating thing I have ever done, because there's great volunteers and then there's one, it's all kinds. So you're happy when
Absolutely.
They show up, but if you have to count on them, it can be very challenging because you're the backup. So
I agree with that.
Yeah. It's easier to have paid staff. I mean, it is. Let's just be honest. It really is. Is there, we have to go to a break, so I want to, if you can answer this quickly, if not, we'll come back after the break, but is there a kind of student that is attracted to doing this kind of work? I know you said it's in a lot of, faith-based organizations, colleges, religious organizations, which is so wonderful, but is there a kind of student that, is it all over the map, or is there a profile that sticks out to you?
The profile that sticks out to me is the kinds of people that come to Food Recovery Network are the kinds of people who care and want to help. That's our common ground right there, and it's really inspiring.
Yeah, and that is really, like, I think in tweets, the kids who care and want to help. And I call them kids because everybody now under 50 is a kid for me. It's like, it's pathetic. So everybody, we're going to take a short break. And Regina, when we come back, I would like to talk a little bit more about the conference, because they're important and you don't expect kids to just come and learn and do what I call recharge and cross-pollination, but do more than just experience the conference. And then if we can, I love to ask someone like you about millennials and talk to us about them through your lens. Who are they? What do they care about? What excites them? Everybody stay here with me. You don't want to miss a word. Regina Northouse from the National Food Recovery Network. We'll be right back. Please stay here with us. More good stuff to come.
Mrs. Green's world's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World. Thanks for being a part of it. And remember, we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And isn't it wonderful that we have the opportunity today to invite everybody to think about some really good news and how you might be inspired to be a part of getting involved or spreading the word or having somebody listen to this podcast. We've been talking for this hour about food recovery, about fighting waste, about feeding people, and joining us to share that is Regina Northouse. She is the executive director of the Food Recovery Network, the largest, I love saying this slowly, the largest student movement against hunger in changing the norm from food waste to food recovery in the United States. And I hope everybody is as blown away as I am hearing about the impact they're having. And it's not just cutting down on food waste, but in impacting thousands of lives through their important work in helping to really train students to be good stewards of the community when they go out into the world and they become heads of corporation. I would dare say it's an experience that the students take with them that's formative in how they show up in the world after that. Regina, you can tell it's a pleasure to have you with us, and I'm very happy to be where I am getting to share this. And I'm also proud to be a member of your National Advisory Board and hope that I can really step up a little bit more to every time I talk to you to support your important work. So let's talk a little bit about, let's go to millennials, because everybody talks about millennials. Everybody in business wants their business. I want them to listen and care and be engaged in Mrs. Green's World because I see them as a huge part of our future. And it's this, you know, blanket term that nobody is quite sure what is a millennial. So from your lens, do you have thoughts you want to share? Who are they? What do they care about? What excites them?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very lucky that I get to work with so many cool people all across the country. I am not a millennial. So I'm glad
you barely missed the cut.
Yeah, they're so cool. And I know that I feel like every generation kind of talks badly about the generation like right underneath them. And millennials often get a lot of flack about, you know, being the me generation. And from my vantage point, that is absolutely not the case. These are some incredibly passionate people. And I think a lot of what I've learned from them is that they do want to disrupt the status quo. It's not something that, you know, that they, I guess it's easier for them to do that. It's how they do their work. And that's exactly why Food Recovery Network was started. You know, people saw a problem and they thought, well, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to be part of that. I'm going to do this instead. And I see a lot of that across the network and in how our students add their original flair to their FRN chapters. We started a program called Food Recovery Verified, which is a program that we began it because our students said to us, hey, I know that my dining hall is doing the right thing with their surplus food. How do I know if the restaurant on the street that I want to go to isn't doing the same thing? So we, wow, of course, want to keep working. It's amazing. It's such an amazing thing. And we have, this program where we definitely want higher education to be the first sector where food recovery is the norm. You know, we'll continue to work within higher education. But at the same time, Food Recovery Verified allows us to also work with corporate dining, events, catering, restaurants, to help support them in also recovering and donating their surplus food. So we have a little window sticker, kind of like a Zagat's Rated or, just like something that you see in a brick and mortar store that says, you know, this establishment does the right thing and recovers its surplus food. Our students wanted that.
Awesome.
They really want to vote
with
their dollars.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I want to find
it's
out
very,
about
very
that
cool.
For some of the clients that I have that I work with, some of our partners, mm-hmm. like the Hotel Congress here in Tucson and the Cup and Maynard's, they have an amazing food recovery,
excellent.
And they partner with the U of A for compost cats. And it's a really great thing. And they have a Mrs. Green's World sticker, proud partner, so I want to get that
great.
One on there. Well, and that comes from the students. And I agree with you
the
about
students.
Millennials. Just a little funny story. I asked that question of someone I had on recently from Seafood Watch out of Monterey Bay Aquarium. And I talked about millennials. He goes, hey, you know what I did? I figured out millennials. I figured out how to get them involved. I hired one because he said it was the easiest way to, you know, create a model of engagement. So he took the bull by the horns and hired somebody. Let's get back to this. What would you ask of people listening to this show? I really want to do a lot more, and I'm going to have to cough here. Excuse me. People that are listening, there's a lot of requests now for calls to action. We have mm-hmm. all kinds of people listen to this show, men and women and students of all ages. What kinds of things are you looking for that, I'm going to cough again. I'm not eating, so what got caught in my throat, but what do you need?
Yeah, there's so many, thanks so much for asking that. I really appreciate that. There's so many ways that people can get connected to the movement. You know, we are a very collaborative and very welcoming place and space, and we are all over the place. So no matter where you live, people can get connected. And they can do that by working to ensure if they have a college or university that is meaningful to them, to help us get a chapter up and running if there isn't one there. Our students are always welcoming to have people do recoveries with them. We have greening events that we're going to really start focusing on this year, so people can come out with us and actually pick fresh produce and deliver that food to partner agencies, because fresh produce is something that is of high value to nonprofits that are feeding people.
And it matters. I mean, it matters that we're feeding. I've never had a coughing attack on the phone, on the show, but you can listen through it.
Talking.
It's great. But people really, in our area and areas that I see around the country, they don't want to be just giving compromised food to people that don't have it. They want to mm-hmm. be giving them healthy food. And that's one of the things you're
yes.
saying that you're focusing on.
Yes, absolutely. And when we survey our partner agencies across the country, they tell us that a lot, that the food that they are able to get from our students is fresh. It's a lot more varied and nutritious than what they would be able to get otherwise. And the other part about partnering with Food Recovery Network, when we work with our partner agencies, that again, I think I've probably said inspired about 40,000 times today, but when students bring food to partner agencies, that means then that the partner agency can divert some of their budget dollars to other things. So they don't have to buy as much food because they're getting this donation. And when we talk about, you know, which is awesome, we estimate that around We save our partner agencies $500,000 annually because of the food donations that they're getting. It's just remarkable.
That's astounding. I mean, it really is in recovered food. I mean, in food that they didn't have to. Yeah, I got it. I got it. And I'm going to survive the coughing attack, which is also very good.
That I didn't happens want to every.
Yeah. So people can also help by donating dollars.
Absolutely.
Because what nonprofit doesn't need money?
I don't think I've ever heard of one that doesn't.
Me either, because if they did, they wouldn't be very popular.
We're a very lean organization. You know, if we get a dollar donated to us, we'll do our best to make it into $1.50. We are resourceful, we're scrappy, we're creative, we rely on collaboration and partnerships to help lengthen the amount of our budget so that we can do more. But when we get actual financial support from individuals, from corporations or foundations, that allows us to do other things. I at no joke, it was about a year ago that we were able to invest and get a landline at our office. We had been using cell phones up until that point, and we still do a lot. You know, and it was really a game changer.
Who would have thunk?
It was a game changer for us. Yeah. I know.
And we have a studio that we built in our home, and you can't get cell phone service here if you have my carrier. So a landline is critical to our operation. Oh my gosh, Regina, that cracks me up. We got enough money for a landline. That is lean and mean.
Yeah.
Yes, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. And we have,
I was going to say, and I want everybody to know that what they have to do is visit foodrecoverynetwork.org. It's a very user-friendly website. And if you're feeling depressed someday and you want to get uplifted, and I love that you're using the word inspired, because Lord knows we all need inspiration these days. Mm-hmm. Again, did I say that again? FoodRecoveryNetwork.org. And of course, there's really fun stuff on their Facebook page, which is Food Recovery Network, Twitter, Food Recovery, and Instagram, and Pinterest, all the normal suspects in terms of social media. Tell us a little bit about the conference. What happened at this last one? What kinds of things did you cover? And what do you like to see come out of it? And let me just add my own two cents before you go on. When I go to a conference, I feel like I'm plugging in my electric vehicle or recharging my battery or filling my well up. You know, it doesn't have to be any more than that, where I go and I get good ideas. And of course, I'm always trolling for guests to get on the show. But I think gathering now in community with like-minded people may be more important than it has ever been. So I value conference. And you bring in hundreds of students that are friendly to all ages, because I was there and I'm in my 60s and I met these girls that were watching out for me and saving me seats and all of that. So tell us about the conference, what happens, and what you'd like to see as the pebble in the pond.
Yeah. It was such an amazing couple of days. So our annual conference is called the National Food Recovery Dialogue. And this is our second year that we hosted this. And as you said, it's an opportunity for our students to come together, to meet one another, to share ideas, and to problem solve so that they can have better tools for working within their chapters to make their chapters successful and stronger. And so we took the first day to set the context of, you know, nationally, you know, what is happening around food recovery. We had a wonderful plenary, two speakers, Jen Yates, who is a phenomenal consultant. She's so smart and was able to put that national context into play for everyone. And then Tony Hillary from Harlem Grown spoke from on the ground level. He has a really great nonprofit out in Harlem. And he just talked about how he got that started, because our students, they want to be policymakers. They want to start their own organizations. They want to go into business. And so we really wanted to be able to provide that voice for them. But also, we really take to heart the feedback that we get from our students. And so from our first conference, they told us a few things. And those things were, you know, we want to roll up our sleeves a little bit more. We want to have more opportunity to talk with one another. So this year, we had more breakouts that were led by our students. And so they talked about how to fundraise for their chapters. They talked about, you know, these resources that are needed, such as volunteers and, you know, other approaches to strengthening their chapters, all led by the voice of students. It was really incredible. And then we had two really fun events. One was called the Hackathon, and that was actually sponsored by Sodexo, where essentially what Sodexo did was they provided a real-life scenario for our students where they said, you know, these are some of the constraints that we're working within. Given those constraints, what are your ideas on how we can help to further prevent food from being wasted at the source? And our students were able to problem solve. They then presented their ideas, and a winning idea was selected. And the judges, you know, of the judges that we had included somebody from ReFed, which is a wonderful organization doing a lot of research around the impacts of what happens when we waste our food and how we can prevent that from happening. We also had Ted Monk, who is on our National Board of Directors, who is the Vice President of Corporate Responsibility and Sustainability for Sodexo North America.
Wow.
And he was with us the whole 2 days, really just listening and learning and hearing from our students. And then we had what we call a kitchen throwdown, which was a really friendly competition among students to create a savory dish and a sweet dish. And we partnered with the Drexel Food Lab there. And a professor at the Drexel Food Lab who started it, his name is John Deutsch, and he is actually a James Beard Fellow. He has been tasked to create a food recovery curriculum for culinary students all across the country. So that was a really great program as well. And what was so unique about that is we had Catherine Miller as a judge from the James Beard Foundation. So literally the students can say, this dish I made was James Beard Foundation tested.
I love it.
It was really cool. Super cool. And the food we used for it was recovered food that we were able to get from Hungry Harvest. We love Hungry Harvest. And if anybody listening to your show hasn't heard of them, definitely have to look them up. It's another organization that was started out of the University of Maryland. It's incredible. And so they work to recover organic food, and you can purchase that organic food in the form of a community-supported agriculture box. They'll deliver it right to your home. And if you are in, it's amazing. And they have so many different options. And on our website, if you go to our website, there's a code that if you are in their market area, you can get, you know, $5 off your first subscription. So,
and the CSAs, so they're another thing changing the world. But I just, you know, as you described the conference, it's like it is the face of the next new iteration of what conferences look like. And I, for one, I don't want to sit in a seat for an hour and listen to a content area expert for the most part. Not anymore. I want to be involved and engaged and talk to other people. And I love keynotes. So yes, you have those. That's the plenary sessions. And I love that the students ask for that. That's the kind of thing that I want to be at. I want to be involved and engaged. And this sounds like it was so much fun, because everything I do from now on, I want to have fun. And it sounds like it was a lot of fun. So we have about 2 minutes left. And I just want to recap things to our listeners. Take a look at the website. Take a look at foodrecoverynetwork.org and look at all the things they're doing. And hopefully, one of our missions always is that people who listen, yes, it will raise their environmental IQ, but yes, it will help them be inspired to get involved in some way. We're just in front of Thanksgiving. So we of course, our whole team wants to wish people a happy, safe, and fun Thanksgiving. Take a pause and be grateful for all that we have, because we all have so much to be grateful for. And thank a nonprofit like Food Recovery Network. $5, $10, you heard what Regina said about how much a little bit can make, and how if a lot of us do a little bit, we're going to change the world. Indeed, it's all that ever has. Yes. So, Regina, this has been great. And I hope, I'd love to come next year, not as a presenter, but just to be a part of it, if it can work out for my schedule. I always love to come back to that area, and you always give such a warm welcome, but it refreshes me. So let's see if we can make that happen next year. Our Down to Earth show on the 23rd, Mike Urquhart from TMC talking about an inspirational story, Heart to Heart. And on November 28th, we're doing the best of show, Premal Shah and Kathleen Bennett from Kiva, Beyond Charity. Regina, thank you again. Thanks to everybody at Food Recovery Network. And happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Thank you for being a part of our world.